Okay, let's pray. And our Father, we thank you for a time like this. As we look into your word, we see only but Christ from the word. Yes, we hear as we ought to hear. We receive as we ought to receive. The eyes of understanding is enlightened as we hear your word and walk in the light of what we see from the scriptures today. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, we started up on a topic last week titled The Vine and the Branch, right? Hallelujah. The Vine and the Branch. And we have a slogan. What was the slogan attached to it? Fruitfulness in the kingdom. Thank you. It's not a slogan, but what do they call that thing? Something like that. AKA. Fruitfulness in the kingdom. Yeah. So we had some background studies last week. And we said something from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. We said, Paul said, all scriptures is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for what? For doctrine. It's profitable for doctrine. And we looked at the word doctrine. Doctrine is from the Greek word didaskalia, which means explanation, teaching. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he said the word of God is profitable for teaching. And we said, yesterday, if you were around yesterday, we also looked at the fact that when they talk about scripture, graphe in the Greek, G-R-A-P-H-E, graphe, it means the Old Testament writings. 99.2% of the time used, don't mind me, I'm doing calculation, using the scripture is used for Old Testament write-up. Only once was it used for Paul's writing by Peter. Do you understand me? When Peter authenticated Paul's writing and he called it scripture. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. So it was used severally for Old Testament writing, meaning when, and we looked at, yesterday we looked at, while we're talking about our new birth and the leading of the Spirit, we looked at how the writer of Hebrews went through the book of Genesis, right? Between Hebrews chapter 11, it went from Genesis 15 to 21 to 22, meaning as he was giving those explanations, what they had in mind was the Old Testament. Hallelujah. So we went further to say last week that the writings of the epistles were explanations of the Old Testament writings, which confirms Christ. Hallelujah. Did you get that? Hallelujah. Okay. Glory to God. So we looked at what doctrine is as the explanation of the word, which Jesus Christ spoke of in Luke chapter 24. He said the writings of Moses and all the prophets where they wrote about him. Meaning Jesus is the central theme of the scripture. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. So we want to pick it up from here. If you missed it, you have to get the material. And you say our own place, we are not given to go and get revelation. No, some people want, they say, the Lord gave me a revelation. God gave me a revelation concerning the scriptures, that the scriptures, I want to put it somewhere. Okay, let me say one. When somebody will tell you the revelation that I have for the last days is bigger than that of Paul, it's crazy. Hallelujah. I wonder why people would think to that point. Hallelujah. Because the place of the 12, the place of the foundational apostles cannot be replaced. And their major role was to give explanation to the Old Testament books. Do you understand? They gave explanation to those books. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter number 3, he says, when you read, did you see that? When you read, anaginosio, meaning when you carefully study. Do you understand? So our path is to carefully read what they've given to us. So we don't have I could borrow this word from a minister that said the canon of the Bible is closed. That is to say you cannot write to add to the scriptures. Do you understand? The canon of the scriptures is closed. Hallelujah. And we were able to look at how to know the doctrines of men. Right? Right, we looked at how to know the teachings, the explanation of men. It glorifies themselves, it doesn't glorify God. Hallelujah. Now, we'll move ahead. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Let's pick it up from there. 3 verse 16. Well, I'm going to be very fast. Very, very fast. So, you have to flow fast with me. What we are discussing right now is what we should have done last week. So, we have to go move very, very fast. When I mean very fast. Chapter 3, 2 Timothy 3 verse 16. It says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for explanation, hallelujah, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Hallelujah. He said that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped, exercised for every good work. Hallelujah. Thoroughly equipped. He said the scripture is given by the inspiration of God and it's profitable, Ophilimos, for doctrine, for explanation. Now, in another word, for reproof. Now, the word for reproof, meaning the scriptures, the explanation of the scripture brings about reproof. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bring about reproof. Conviction. And that is the same word used in Hebrews 11 verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence. Hallelujah. Conviction. Evidence of things not seen. Now it says reproof brings about correction. Hallelujah. Correction. Correction brings about instruction in righteousness. Now the word instruction is the word paideia. Paideia is used for nurturing. The way you train up a child or use for training. Hallelujah. Use for training. Glory to God. Use for training. I will find the same word in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 4. We'll find the same word paideia used in Hebrews chapter 12 as chastening. Hallelujah. The word chastening is actually the word training. Paideia. Training. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's quickly look at that. Hebrews chapter 12. I didn't plan dwelling here for long. But let's just go through to Hebrews 12. Let me explain the scriptures to you there. Hebrews chapter, did I say 12? Yes. Yeah, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5. It says, verses 5. It says, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. Take note of the word that precedes it. It said, he says, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. Did you see the word rebuked? Take note of that word. For whom the Lord, whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scorches every son whom he receives. Hallelujah. He says, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he? There whom a father does not chasten. Hallelujah. He said, for if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. I mean, chastening is important. Now, you know, a lot of us have a biased mind as regards chastening, because I said when I was growing up, I was told chastening is spare the rod and spoil the child. That was what we were taught. Hallelujah. So somebody say, the Lord will whip you. Somebody even said there's what they call the koboko of the Lord. The koboko of the Lord. In fact, somebody now compounded it for me. When I told him, he said, there was a day he was preaching to us. We were little children. Hallelujah. So he was teaching us Sunday school. Main thing, the Lord can flog you. Hallelujah. So he said, the Lord was flogging this person. The person was receiving the beating of the Lord. He said, even he should have been flogged by the Lord before. I said, how? How? It's because we don't really know. Do you understand? Some people think God has koboko. It's because of too many Nollywood. Where you see, yes now, too many Nollywood. Where you see people, and you just see, I've watched Nollywood a lot. African magic. It's magic. This is where you jump in. Ah! Pia! Pia! We don't bring it to the Lord. It says, the Lord is flogging us. How? It's chastening, spare the rod and spoil the child. So God is going to flog you with koboko. How is that the long suffering of the Lord? Hallelujah. Even when the children of Israel, listen, even when the children of Israel went to make a golden calf, Moses was up there with the Lord, and the Lord told him, this is what the children of Israel are doing. What did Moses tell the Lord? He pleaded on their behalf, and the Lord accepted. Right? The Lord accepted the long suffering of the Lord. So how come he did not flog them there, but he's not flogging you here? You that even believe. We know that those who didn't believe didn't enter they didn't go with Joshua into the land of Canaan, right? But those that believe went with him, right? Right? The Bible told us that those who actually rebelled died in the wilderness. Others went in with Joshua, right? Why didn't God deal with them too? You must understand love. God's nature is love. So what is he talking about here? That's why you need to read the Bible together. You have to start from Hebrews chapter 1 before you get to Hebrews chapter 12 to understand what he's talking about. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you understand me? So what it means by chastening is actually what is called paideia, training. Training. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, you find the same, the writer of Hebrew was quoting from Proverbs, hallelujah. So if you go to Proverbs chapter 11, you now look at, let's go to Proverbs chapter 3 rather. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 11, Proverbs chapter 3, quickly. Let's look at it. What, you know, you can go back to those original scriptures that was being explained. Proverbs chapter 3 immediately. Put your hands there and let's look at it. Put your hands in Hebrews and let's look at Proverbs chapter 3. Look at it critically. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 11. Quickly, Hebrews. So we're going to look at it together. I only have 2 minutes to do that because we have to be done. Hallelujah. 2 minutes. Just 2 minutes. Okay. Are you there? Now look at it closely. Look at it. Everybody look at it closely. What do you find in chapter 3 verse 11 into 12? That you cannot see in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 5 into 6. No, read correction out of it. We'll get to that. Eh? Chastening is there. Love is there. If what you cannot see there is, let me just be fast, scourges every son whom he receives. You can't find that in the original. Do you understand me? You can find that in where they got it from. And I'm going to tell you the reason for that. Hallelujah. But let's look at it from Proverbs, sorry. He said, my son, do not despise the chastening. The word chastening is from the Hebrew word mister. M-I-S-T-E-R. It means to correct or to rebuke somebody with words. Mister. Hallelujah. It means to rebuke somebody with what? With words. It said, nor desist, detest his correction. Did you see that? Hallelujah. The same word correction is the word C-O-W-K-E-C-H-A-H. It means to align somebody by words of mouth. So I want to get the similarities in all the words as the writer of Proverbs used them. He said, for whom the Lord loves, he corrects. The word correct is the word Yakov. Y-A-K-O-H. The word Yakov means to use word of mouth to pass a decree. Do you understand me? He corrects. Now, look at all the words from the Hebrew. Those words, what does it really tell you? It talks about correction, right? Right? Bringing somebody to the right track with what? With words. Did you see Cain there? Did you see Cain there? No. Now, the word in Hebrew, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, chapter 12, verse 6. Now, the word, and I mean, he said, and scourges every son whom he received. The word scourge is the word mastigo. Mastigo. Now, it's used, it's a word that is arguably misrepresented in Bible translation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I'll have little or nothing to say about it, because this is the only time that word was used in the epistles. Other times the word was used, is used in persecution. Do you understand me? Persecution. But you know, we can actually render it, or we can actually say it is wrong translation, because it was not part of the original. Do you understand me? And that is why you have to carefully study. Do you understand me? The original form, Proverbs, we saw that it was correction with what? Words of mouth. Putting somebody in the right order with words of mouth. Passing a decree. Can you pass decree with cane? And that is what, and how is that achieved? With proper explanation of the scripture. You get convinced. You get corrected. Hallelujah. You get corrected with what? With the explanation of the scriptures. And that is what is translated paideia, growth. Growth. Hallelujah. Training. That is to say, proper explanation of the scripture brings about spiritual training. Hallelujah. You are trained with proper explanation of the words of scripture. So when scriptures are properly explained, the child of God who receives the words or the ministry of explanation is grown thereby. Is trained. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Meaning, if I'm learning about love, I'm trained. If a man is hearing about love and is not walking in love, because of the message of love, what happened to the person? The person is trained. The person is corrected in his stead. Why? Or how? With the gospel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. With the gospel. With the explanation that is from the word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So Paul explained that training is with words. So, seeing this, we cannot say Paul's writings in the epistle, you know, Paul's writings in the epistles are explanation of Old Testament writings. I hope you know that. Hallelujah. Are explanation of Old Testament writings. So, Paul's writing in the epistles to the children of God, or to the churches, rather, are for what? Spiritual training. Or for spiritual growth. When in Paul's writing, you find spiritual growth. In Paul's writing. Not just for, or in the epistles. You can put it in the epistles. Because the epistles are explanations. In the epistles, you find spiritual growth. Also, there's something I need to say. In Christ, in Jesus' teachings, so Jesus' teachings too were teachings from the Old Testament. Now, and very important, whenever you read the scripture, you have to understand the background or the audience to whom he was talking to. Are you hearing me? So most times in Jesus' teachings, he was talking to, you should know when he's talking to his disciples, he uses plain speech. When he's talking to the Pharisees, you hear him using what? Parables. Hallelujah. Parables is, the Greek word means to cross to the other side. Meaning to use earthly things to try and convey spiritual meanings. And you discover Jesus had to do it because also Moses did the same thing to them because of the hardness of their heart. So he had to use physical structures to explain spiritual facts. Do you understand me? Jesus will use parables and he will tell his disciples, to you it is given to know the explanations of this. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. Can you not see why even the writings of Moses need to be explained? Hallelujah. Did you get that? Matthew chapter 13 verse 34. He spoke in parables to them. Hallelujah. Matthew 13, 34. You can look at that. Hallelujah. Later. Glory to God. So Jesus, in his teachings, you would find words that would become for spiritual growth after his resurrection. take note of that. In Jesus' teachings, while he was on earth, you find words that will be material for spiritual growth after his resurrection, meaning when they have come to him. Do you understand? And that is why you will find what he taught being explained also in the epistles. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. So with this being said, spiritual growth can only be found, I'm repeating it, can only be found in proper explanation. Meaning when the scripture is not properly explained to you, it's not spiritual, you will not get spiritual growth. No, you might not. You will not. Hallelujah. So proper explanation is key. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. So, and also I said Paul's writing to the churches will be for spiritual growth, right? Okay. Glory to God. That would take us to what we are talking about, the branch and the vine, or the vine and the branches. Okay. That will take us to one of Jesus's teaching in the book of John. Hallelujah. Let's go to the book of John. Jesus began to teach his disciples from chapter 13 of John. So if you want to, you will get the full gist when you start from chapter 13. When he took towel. Before the Passover, he took towel and washed their feet. Hallelujah. He washed their feet. And I heard that there are some places where you go and they wash your feet. Hallelujah. Some people laugh at them. Hallelujah. For you that you are laughing at the person. You say, how can you go to church and they are washing your leg? Are you not the same? You that you are doing baptism. Are you not the same? Hallelujah. You that you are doing baptism and you are still drinking blood and you are still eating. You are still eating bread. You are the same thing. You are still. Isn't it yours? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's the same thing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, we'll find time. I was discussing with one of our pastors yesterday that it's part of what I wanted to teach us during our GPLC. That was why we had a lot of time to rest. If not, my plan was I wanted to teach a long stretch overnight. One of those nights we had to sleep. I wanted to use it to teach on, all through the night, I planned it, to teach on no symbols in Christianity. But it will come up before June. No symbols. In Christianity, there's no symbol. What is this? Nonsense. No symbols. What is this? Nonsense. No symbols in Christianity. There is no symbol. At age 18, you go and do water baptism. No symbols. We don't have such in the kingdom. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's no symbol. And we're going to look at all those symbols and we're going to explain it in the right way. You cannot say a figure of, somebody said, Jesus is the Lamb. He's still a lamb. Forever will be a lamb. The word lamb was used figuratively. Do you understand me? So you cannot take a figure of speech and make it literal. It's figure. Hallelujah. He's a lamb because he was our Passover lamb. But he's the Lord. Hallelujah. Do you understand me? So your Lord is a lamb. Can you not see yourself? Why not? Do you understand me? You must understand figures of speech in the scriptures. And I've been taught to know that when a statement is impossible, a figure of speech is intended. when you read the scripture, when a statement is impossible. So remember when we were studying yesterday, when Jesus said, you read the scripture for them, you think you have eternal life. These are they that testifies of me, but you will not come to me. Do you know they can't come to him? So it's an impossible statement as at that time. So it's a figure of speech, meaning you will not come to my conclusion. Do you understand that? So you must learn to see figure of speech, where it's figure of speech, and leave it as figure of speech. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. Our God is a consuming fire. He consumes fire! Figure of speech. Hallelujah. So you now have to know what is the intent. Glory to God. So, no, like I said, we are getting to know much more from the scriptures. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But out of baptism, we've been able to explain it here. And the only scripture people will quote for you, they will tell you, Jesus Christ, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. Just very simple. There's an explanation to verse 3. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man, Nicodemus was asked, how can I be born again? Will I have to go into my mother's? It's just nice. Except a man be born of water and Kai, that is, of the Spirit. So he used water to signify the Spirit. All the while, Jesus used water in his sermons. Read from John 1 to John 15, 16. All the while, he used water. Water signified his Spirit. Did you hear that? He signifies the Spirit. Hallelujah. Okay, that being said, how did I get here? Okay, I said those people that are laughing, those that are, you know, you people are in the same boat. They are laughing. They are still drinking wine. I remember one day, we were to have a communion service. Just listen. And listen. We didn't get any good wine. We're looking for normal red wine. This is as far back as 2008. Looking for correct red wine. Let us keep the Lord's feast. You know, you can sincerely be doing ignorant things. Sincerely. So we didn't see, we now went to buy Baron. The brother went to buy Baron. When the brother said, ah, bro, we'll get high in the spirit. He said, sir, it's red now. Is it not red? Is it not red? I said, ah, bro, who we had? Okay. We now started pouring it. I was now monitoring it. Let it be small. Okay. Hallelujah. So at the end, we're now done. The baron did not get half. That's why I now knew. Eh? When the flesh began to move some people, brethren began to drag who would take the remaining baron wine home. Why they were dragging it in and broke it, but I said, the Lord does not want you to get high. Word of all trust now came. Funny. Glory to God. No, we had those times. How I wish Brother Don was there. He could still remember. Hallelujah. So funny. Hallelujah. So most times when I look back, I just laugh. And I did these things, though, ignorantly. Hallelujah. No symbols. There's no symbol in Christianity. Say, if you don't pay your tithe, it will be tight on you. Keep quiet, see. You that you are paying, is it not tight? Are you not feeling Buhari era? Glory to God. Please, let's go ahead. John 15. Why did I even get here? How did I get here? Oh, Father, have your way. Okay, John 15. Say, I'm the vine. I'm the true vine. I want to read from the Old King James. John 15. Remember I said you should have gone through, it's just me trying to explain. Can I borrow this? You should have gone through chapter 13 to get to 15 so that you understand what we're discussing. Now, John 15. He says, I am the true vine. My father is the husbandman. Take note of that. My father is the husbandman. I am the true vine. My father is the husbandman. The word for husbandman does not mean the man of the woman. No. Husbandman means farmer. The one who plants, farmer. I am the true vine. My father is the husbandman. The New King James now put it vine dresser. Hallelujah. Husbandman, farmer. Glory to God. Jesus uses that word, my Father, is the word pata. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pata. He uses that word in John chapter 7. John chapter 7, verses 16 to 18, 28 to 29. John chapter 6. You know, in John's writing, I just want to restrict myself to how John uses the word. Hallelujah. John chapter 6. Are you in John chapter 6? Yeah, just read verses 63. John 6, verse 63. Are you there? Okay. It says, it is the Spirit who gives life. Say, the flesh profit nothing. The words that I speak to you, that Spirit and their life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning that they were, beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless he has been granted to him by my Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, chapter 7, verse 33, are you there? Jesus speaking to the Pharisees, he says, look at what he tells them in verse 33. He says to the Pharisees, Jesus said to them, I shall be with you a little while longer, and then I will go to him who sent me. What does it mean to go to him who sent him? Some of you say he will go to heaven. No, it talks about you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You will seek me and not find me. Where I am, you cannot come. He tells them where he is, they cannot come. Look at verse 37. Verse 37. Are you in verse 37? Yes. On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. For he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. Hallelujah. But he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. Take note of that word, Jesus had not yet been glorified. Remember the word we looked at yesterday, entering into his glory was to be in our hearts. Hallelujah. 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 Okay. Look at John chapter 8, verse 20. Fast. I'm supposed to start from verse 8. But let's look at verse 14. I'll read from verse 14 to 20. He said, and he said, he answered and said to them, even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true. For I know where I came from and where I'm going. But you do not know where I come from and where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. And yet, if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am with the Father. Take note of that. I am with the Father. Take note of that. Now, it speaks of his Father as one that is with him. Hallelujah. Who sent me? It is written in your law. Where is he quoting? Moses. That the testimony of two men is true. I am one who bears witness of myself. And my Father who sent me bears witness of me. And they said to him, where is your Father? Jesus answered and said, you know neither me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So they know not him nor his Father. Speaking to the unbelievers. Hallelujah. Chapter 14. Chapter 14. In my Father's house. Okay, chapter 14. You know, many people will miss this. He said, do not let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my father's house are many mansions. English students, can you have mansions inside a house? Those of you who think your good works, you are creating, you are building your house in heaven. Hallelujah. You who think you are building a mansion in heaven, if I do good things, I'll have good house. If you do bad things, you have bad house. No. He said, in my father's house. So, simple grammar, can you have a mansion inside a house? No. So, it tells you it is, you know, you have to understand when a figure is used and the explanation to it. Hallelujah. The word, in my father's house, is the word oikia, which means family. It means family, oikia. It means family. It talks about a family. Hallelujah. Family, household. Hallelujah. In my father's house are many mansions. He said, if it were not so, when he talks about mansion, yeah, mansion refers to a room, to a place in the house. Did you get that? Hallelujah. So he's not going to build somewhere. He's talking about a place. Hallelujah. He said, if it were not so, I would not have told you that I go prepare a place for you. The word to prepare is the word that signifies an internal work. Do you understand me? It signifies an internal work. So he goes prepare a place for us. Where? In himself. Where? In the father's family. Did you get that? Hallelujah. And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. Do you not see where the work is done? Himself. I will come and receive you where? To myself. Did you get that? Hallelujah. So that where I am, there you'll be also. And where I go, you know. Remember I told the Pharisees, you don't know where I'm going to because you can't come there. Now he's telling his own brethren. He says, and where I go, you know. And the way, you know. Verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father except through me. He puts himself and his Father as one. Verse 7, if you have known me, you will have known my Father also. Did you see that? And from now you know him and have seen him. Exactly the word. You've known him, you know him and have seen him. That is the same thing. John chapter 1 verse 14, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld this glory, the glory of the only begotten of God, full of what? Grace and truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Philip asked a question, and he said in verse 9, have you been with me so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at verses 19. No, verse 18. When he said, I go prepare a place. Now you know. Or when he said, I go to the Father. You need to understand that. Look at verse 18. He said, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Did you see the word? I will do what? I will come to you. Verse 19, a little while longer, the world will see me no more. And you will see me because I live, you will live also. And in that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Did you see this? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at verse 23. And Jesus said to them, if anyone loves me, he will keep my commandments, and my Father will love him. And we will come and make our home meno. Our home, meno, with him. A place where we live. We'll come and live. Meaning, the believer is the headquarter of God. Hallelujah. We are the headquarter of God. God dwells in us. Hallelujah. The master dwells here. Hallelujah. Can we move ahead? Okay. Glory, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, when Jesus said, I go to the Father, when he said, I go to the Father in verses 18, he means in our hearts. Hallelujah. When Jesus said, I go to the Father, he means in our heart. In Luke 24, hallelujah. When he said, I go to the Father, that I will be glorified. He talks about, entering into his glory, he talks about our heart. That is where he went to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm the house of God. I'm his mansion. Hallelujah. Okay, let's sing that. I'm a child of God. What is that song? That's how. God bless you. Pastor Wisdom, can you help us? I'm the child of God, and I'm born of the Spirit. I'm the Father's house. Don't worry. You are singing in the Spirit. In Christ, and I'm born the Spirit of the Father's house. Yes, I'm the Father's house. Others on slime. I cannot fail. Spirit, I'm the Father's house. I'm the Father's house. Hallelujah. I'm the Father's house. He lives here. Oh, hallelujah. There's a song I sing so much. I love the song. I say, love is the flag flown high from the castle of my heart. The Master is resident here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's resident here. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I preach the gospel because his headquarters is in me. I make known the fragrance of his knowledge everywhere because he lives in me. I will make men know. I will make men see the light of the world. I will preach the gospel. I will preach the gospel. Why? Because he dwells in me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, when you tell yourself the Father dwells in me, he summons so much boldness in you. You want to tell the untold. Hallelujah. He lives in me. He lives in me. The in him reality. He lives in me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, he shows us that in verse 20, he tells us the Father and the Son dwells in the believer. We are all of one. We are all of one. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 11. We are all of one. Hebrews 2:11. Are you in Hebrews? Okay, verse 11. He says, for both him who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified. Who are we? We are sanctified. Hallelujah. Are all of one. For which reason he's not ashamed to call them adulterers. Hallelujah. Brethren. From the same source. We are all of one. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 13. Okay, before we get there, let's look at Ephesians 2:3. Ephesians 2:22, sorry. Ephesians 2:22. It says, I read. It says, and in whom you also have been built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. We are built together, a dwelling place of God. He lives in us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are built together, a dwelling place. We are his dwelling place. Hallelujah. So when I walk, God walks in the earth. Hallelujah. As I preach the word of God, to life, as I preach the gospel, God does it through me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. No wonder Paul will write and say, the life that I live is not I, but Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. I've lost my will. No, I've lost my will. His will is my will. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's look at verse 13. We're all of one. You know, Paul. Oh, Shashapalabu. So much time then, recently I began to think, all of Paul, all that Paul knew. You know, he wrote that he said, what relationship has light to darkness? He said, what relationship? He doesn't say, as Christ with Belial. He said, Christ, the man in Christ is Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He calls us righteousness. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. He says, for by one Spirit we are all being baptized into one body. We are all being baptized into one body by one Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whether Greek or whether Jews or Greek, whether slaves or free, we have all been made to drink into one spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. You find the same in first. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 2. 1 Corinthians 1, 2. He said to the church, he's writing to the church, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. He's not actually written called to be saints. The word to be is the word italicized, meaning it's not in the original. It's called saints. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now he said called to, let me take that again. To those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called saints, which all in every places call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Hallelujah. 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 He calls us sanctified. Calls us sanctified. He said sanctified in Christ. Sanctified in Christ. Meaning our sanctification is because we are in Christ. Hallelujah. We are in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Chapter 4, of that 1 Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 15. It says, for though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus have begotten you in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17. If any man be in Christ. Hallelujah. In Christ. That is where we are. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Galatians chapter 3 verse 27. It says, and if you are Christ, you are Abraham's seed. It says, if you are in Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We are in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the man born again is the man in Christ. Let's go back to John chapter 15. Now, you see, when you talk about what I've just been able to help you see is the vine and the vine dresser and the branches are all one. Do you get that? All one. Let's look at that chapter 15. We're all one. So that as you read with the right mindset. You've seen before now, Jesus said, I and my Father are one. Right? So you understand. He's not talking about three different entities. Do you understand me? But he uses a tree. Remember what I said, a parable to cross to the other side. So you need explanation. Do you understand? So it's the explanation that we are seeing. Do you understand? So it's not three separate entities. No, the vine, the branch, and the vine dresser. No, it's talking about the same thing. Do you understand me? The same thing. So what you do is that when you see a parable is that you cross over. Then you have to cross back so that you understand. Hallelujah. You cross back. Hallelujah. Cross back, get the explanation. And most times, whatever explanation you have must be found in the epistles, because the epistles explain those same things. Like what we are reading here, we'll find exact explanation from the words of Christ, from the epistles. So, Paul, Peter, and other epistles will not say what Christ has not said. Do you understand me? They say, well, Christ will not say what Moses did not say. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead a bit. Let's go ahead. Chapter 15 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser, the husbandman, right? My Father is the vine dresser. And let's go to verse 2. It says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that he may bring forth more fruit. Take hold of the word, more fruit. And I said, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. He has said this earlier on in chapter 13. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now let's take it one by each. He said, verse 2, he said, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. The margin that says takes away, we're going to look at it. Now, he talks about two branches that are in him. Hallelujah. Let's run down to verse 6. That's another kind of branch. He says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. We're going to look at that too. Hallelujah. Did you get that? Now, first of all, he is explaining in verse 2 the two kinds of branches that are in him. First of all, you have to understand that the branch is in the vine. Did you get that? So, the two branches he was referring to in verse 2, where are they? In him. Right? Are you with me? Are you with your Bible? Look at your Bibles. Hallelujah. He says, every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, the Father takes away. And the one that bears fruit, he proves that he will bear much fruit. Or I say you should underline the word much fruit, because Paul gives explanation to what the word much fruit. I will look at it in the course of this. Hallelujah. 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 So, we have to get some, I'm trying to make sure we get some foundational truth right. Okay. The vine is the work of the Father. Do you understand me? How should I put it? Okay, let's leave that. The vine is the work of the Father. The vine and the branches are the works of the Father. Meaning, the Father takes care of the vine and the branch. The branch is to express the fruit of the vine. A branch does not bear fruit. Right? A branch does not produce fruit. Did you understand that? A branch does not produce fruit. Science student, help me. Yes, right? Yes. Thank you. The branch bears the fruit of the vine. The vine produces the fruit. The branches bear the fruit of the vine. So that is to say, we say the branches express the fruit of the vine. You understand? So that you begin to get that straight. So when Jesus talks about any branch in me that bears not fruit, so that you understand what he's saying. The word for bear, just look at that word. The word to bear is the word P-H-E-R-O. Which is the word, is it? Pharaoh. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's not my mother tongue. We'll get to know it. Hallelujah. Kehi. I will never leave that word nor forsake it. I will never leave it nor forsake it. Because Kehi is my player, Chelsea. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now he says, now the word bear is the word to show. To bring forth. To carry. Do you see that? So, you understand that word. To bear. I mean, Pharaoh. It's all the word. Forgotten again. I did a study on it. I'm trying to remember. It's not important. Hallelujah. It implies to show. To bring forth. To bring forth something. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. To carry. So the branches display or carry the fruit of the vine. The branches does not produce fruit. They carry, display. So when Jesus said, any branch in me that bears fruit or bears not fruit. Now the bear is any branch in me that carries my fruit. Do you understand me? That carries my fruit. That that brings forth my fruit, that displays or expresses my fruit. Do you understand me? Pharaoh. Okay. Did you get what Jesus... I want you to understand the vocabulary that Jesus is using or what Jesus was saying. Did you get what he's saying? Can you look at your Bible now? Can you read it now with this? Any branch in me that does not bring forth my fruit. Can you read it like that? Eh? So, who is the one producing the fruit? The vine. And Christ said he is the vine. Do you understand that? So, the vine produces the fruit. The branches bear the fruit. Okay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. Now let's look at the word to take away. Any branch in me that does not bear fruit. We also look at what the fruit is. We really need to know what the fruit is. Hallelujah. We'll look at that too. Maybe next week. I know we can't get there today. But let's just look at it all. Now, at least we should be done in verse 6 or verse 3 if I round up. It says, any branch in me that bears no fruit, it says it takes away. The word takes away is the word airo. A-I-R-O. Airo. Or airo. Anyhow, just call it A-I-R-O. Even if you call it by row, we flow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, that word, in fact, if you read some Bibles that have concordance, they quickly gave a correction. In fact, you put there, you see it there, correction, not to take away. The word there is to carry, to lift up. Do you understand me? That is it. So you don't think so that you understand. See, because this automatically tells you the work of the Father. He said, any branch in me that bears not fruit, he said, he takes away. Who is the he? The Father. That is to say, the Father is, or the vine is the work of the Father. Do you understand me? The work of the Father. Meaning everything that goes on in the tree is the work of the Father. Do you understand that? Do you understand me? It's the work of the Father. So therefore, he says, he lifts up. That is the word. Because in the moment you say he takes away, he gives you a wrong notion about who the Father is. That is in contrast to what Jesus has spoken of the Father as. Do you understand me? John will write and say, God is love. Right? He's love. So if God is love, this is not love. Because it's not bearing the fruit, you just take it away. No. So the word for take away is the word airo, which means to take up, to carry. To lift, to bear. It shows you the work of the Father. So God doesn't just, he's not like the one in verse 6 that he cast out into the fire. Did you get that? That was casted out. Who casted it out? Men gathered it and burnt it. You understand? So he automatically distanced the Father from it. Did you get that? Distanced the Father from it. Did you understand that? Glory to God. So that word in itself, the one that bears fruit, the Father prunes, right? That is, the Father takes care of. Did you see that? The one that bears fruit, the Father takes care of. The one that doesn't bear fruit, does the Father throw it away? So what does the Father do to that one too? He still takes care of it too. Did you see? So both the one that bears fruit and the one that does not bear fruit are the works of the Father. The Father still has a responsibility in them. Did you get that? Did you get that? Hallelujah. 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 Okay. Look at what I wrote. I said, we see that the Father takes care of the branch that produces and the one that doesn't produce fruit. This shows you the long suffering of the Lord. Even for the one that doesn't produce his fruit. Because he takes care. He lifts him up. Lifts him up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Long suffering. Hallelujah. It says that he proves it that it will bear more fruit. The word more fruit, or the word more is the word pleron. Pleon. P-L-E-I-O-N. Pleon. It means P-L-E-I-O-N. It means further. It means further. This is that it means further. But that is to say, he produces further fruit. Which Paul would further explain to us in the epistle, Galatians chapter 6. Do you understand me? Paul will further explain that to us in Galatians 6. We'll get to that also. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then Jesus now said something in verse 3. He said, you are cleansed by the words that are spoken to you. Hallelujah. You are cleansed. By the words, was that what I just read? Say you're already clean because of the word which has spoken to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is very important to note. He also said the same thing in chapter 13, verse 10. Chapter 13, verse 10. He said it to them.
He said, Jesus said to him, in person of Peter, when Peter said, wash my leg, wash my hand. The normal, you know, Peter. Hallelujah. Now he said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. Hallelujah. So the cleansing here is talking about, it says, you are cleansed by the word which has spoken unto you. You must take note of it. Eh? Your cleansing is not because you are bearing fruit. No. Do you understand me? Your cleansing is because you are in the vine. Do you understand me? You're sanctified because you are in the vine, not because you produce fruit. Very important. Hallelujah. If you read verse 8, it says, by this is the Father glorified, that you may bear much, that you may bear much fruit, so that you will be my disciples. It is not in the bearing of fruit that they became his disciples. What it shows, what he said is that you bear more fruit, so that you display yourself as my disciples. Do you understand me? Did you get that? They're already his disciples. So, bearing fruit doesn't make you abide in the Father. Bearing fruit does not make you his disciple, but you bear fruit because you are abiding in the Father. You bear fruit because you are his disciple. Did you get that? Did you get that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did you get that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. He says, so you are cleansed by the word which I have spoken to you. And that is, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Meaning you cannot bear fruit. You cannot bear the fruit of the vine except you are in the vine. Very important as we progress in our study. Very important. Very important. As we progress in our study that, you see, you... bearing fruit is very important as a believer. Bearing fruit is very important. I mean, bearing the Father's fruit is very important. The Master's fruit is very important as believers. Look at verse 6. What he said about the other tree. Take note, the branch in verse 6 is not the same branch in verse 2. Take note. And we're going to see this in Matthew. He says, if anyone does not abide in me, this one does not abide. The one in verse 2 abides. Do you understand me? Any branch in me that does not abide, anyone in me? If anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch. Take note. Is it his branch? No. Do you get that? Is it his branch? No. Because you need to understand what Jesus is communicating. You know, most times when people read it, they say, ah, the Lord will cut you. He will cut you. Cut you off. Out you go. Hallelujah. Now, if anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them together and throw them into the fire and they are burned. He's not referring to the one who was in him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's referring to the one who was in him. Jesus gave a parable. I guess that should be Matthew chapter 6. I'll quickly get there first. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 6. I didn't put that down. Yes, it's Matthew 6. Okay. Matthew 7, verse 15. Look at what he says. He says, beware of false prophets. Matthew 7, verse 15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep clothing. For inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Ravenous wolves, rather. He says, but you will know them by their fruits. By their what? Fruits. You know them by their fruits. Do you understand that? These ones, are they of him? No. Do you get that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. They're not of him. So he said, you know them by their fruit. Look at what he said. He said, you know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes from the thorn, from thorn bushes, or fig from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you know them. Was he referring to the branch in himself? No. Another kind of tree that bears another kind of fruit. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. So, would you call this kind of tree, the tree is referring to in verse 6 of John? Yes. The one that bears another fruit. They are not in him. Do you understand me? So that branch is of that tree that doesn't bear good fruit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. So Paul will say to them in Galatians chapter 6, he said, walk in the spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Did you see that? Walk in the spirit and you don't fulfill the desires of the flesh. Did you get that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Walk in the spirit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You see, fruitfulness is the same all through scriptures. When Paul talks about being fruitful in Colossians, being fruitful in Ephesians, he was referring to the same fruit that Jesus spoke about in John chapter 15. The same fruit. Who bears the Father's fruit? We are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. John 15. Let's rush back to John chapter 15. Okay. Now let's look at it. Verse 7. I know verse 8. You would look at verse 6. Look at verse 8. It says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that you will be my disciples. Now he says, as my Father loved me, I also love you. Abide in my love. Watch that word. Abide in my love. The word for love is the word agape. Abide in my love. The word that Jesus uses more. Uses it most often when he talks about love. You know, there are other words for love. Hallelujah. So Jesus uses that word more often when he talks about love. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. So, when he talks about abide in my love, what does it mean? Is it abiding in something else that is different from what you are abiding in before? Let's look at it. Everybody look at it quickly. Okay. Are you with me? Can we flow? So when he says abide in my love, is he another abiding we're abiding? Eh? Pastor Sammy, is it different from abiding in him or is it the same thing he's talking about? He says, is it the same? He said it's the same. Pastor Garba, is it the same? Eh? Let's move on. That is an APC statement in the church. APC. Let's move on. Hallelujah. Okay. Well, when he talks about, now he changes the tenses. He tells them, abide in me. Abide in me. Now he says, look at that verse 10 very well. I want us to look at, I mean, verse 9 very well. He says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. And Jesus said, continue in my love. He's not telling, listen, it's not the same with what he was saying. Do you understand me? That we are already in him. Now he's telling you, abide in my love. Continue in this love. Hallelujah. Abide in my love. Hallelujah. Let's read verse 10. Verse 10 now went ahead to say, if you keep my commandments, you abide in my love. Did you see that? He said, if you keep my commandments, you abide in my love. Hallelujah. As I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Let's look at that word, commandment. Let's look at that word, commandment. It's the word entolas. Entolas is the word for ordinance. To ask to do something. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How we find Jesus used that word several times in John's writing. In John chapter 10. From verse 17 into 18. Hallelujah. John chapter 10, quickly. Don't want to quote. Let me just rush here. John 10, verse 17 into 18. He said, therefore, my Father loves me because I laid down my life that I might take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down and I have the power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. The word entolas. This command. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He uses the same word in chapter 12. Verse 49 into 50. Chapter 12. Verse 49 into 50. It says, for I have not spoken of my own authority, but the Father who sent me has given me a command that of what I should say and what I should speak. Hallelujah. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. Hallelujah. Says his law, his commandment is life, everlasting life. Now let's see. When he started off this teaching that ran into chapter 16, chapter 15 to chapter 16, I said he started off that teaching from chapter 13, right? So let's look at what he said in the course of the teaching concerning this commandment. Chapter 13, verse 34 into 35. Chapter 13, he said some things about it. So except you, before you get to chapter 15, you read chapter 13, 14, 15, like that. Hallelujah. Okay, verse 34. Chapter 13, verse 33 into 34. He says, little children, I shall be with you a little longer. Why longer? You will seek me. And as I said to the Jews, where I'm going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you. Take this, a new commandment. That is the word entolas. A new commandment I give to you. That you love one another as I've loved you, that you also love one another. He said, by this you will know that you are my disciple. Does this relate to what he said in verses 8? By this you know you are my disciple. If you have love for one another, agapeo, if you have love for one another. Hallelujah. So he gave them the commandment to love one another. It's a command in the line of his teaching. He gave them the commandment is love. Did you get that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The commandment is love. One of is love. Because if you read through chapter 13 into 14, you discover there are two commandments he gave. And they are saying two different things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Glory to God. Now, remember I said it's the same word. Now he said the commandment is here is what? Love. Look at chapter 14. Look at chapter 14. Let's see verse 15. It says, I'm coming. It says verse 13 into 15. It says, and whatever you ask in my name, I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. Did you see it? And I will pray the Father that he will give you another comforter, helper, that he may abide with you forever. He uses the word, if you love me, keep my commandments. Hallelujah. 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 Look at chapter 2. I mean, look at chapter 14. That's in chapter 14. Let's read from verse 2. We've read from verse 2. I want to just pick out a verse because my time is almost up. Okay, let me start from verse 7. Say, if you have known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us your Father. Show us the Father. And it's okay for us. We don't want to hear from you. Just show us the Father. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long and yet you have not known me, Philip? He said, he who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not know that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The word that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work. Believe in me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when he says believe me, he now says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now that commandment will not be believing. Did you get that? The commandment he was telling them about in chapter 14 is what is now. Remember he said in chapter 13, he said, then the commandment I give to you is to love one another, right? Now in chapter 14, he's now saying, if you love me, keep my commandment. He's not be telling them, if you love me, love others. No, he said, if you love me, he just is talking about in verse 11, believe. That is to say, the commandment is speaking to them in chapter 14 about is to believe in his works, which is what? The new birth. He spoke about the new birth. Do you understand me? As a command. Did you get that? So meaning, in chapter 13 into chapter 14, we saw two commandments, to believe in him and then love one another. Did you get that? It's true. You believe in him, and then you what? Love one another. Let's see how 1 John explains it, because John that wrote, let's look at his epistle in 1 John chapter 3, immediately, fast. 1 John chapter 3. Let me just say that. 1 John chapter 3. John. 1 John chapter 3, are you there? Verses 11, fast. He says, for this is the message that you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Hallelujah. 22 into 23. And whatever you ask, we receive. Listen, or whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we have kept his commandment and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son of God. On the name of the Son. What am I saying? And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. You didn't see the two? We believe on the name of the Son, and we love. Did you see that? Believing that is faith, and then do what? Love. You see the two? Now, in the epistle, what did John do? John takes the words of Christ and brings it in the epistles to explain to the church. Did you get that? He takes the word of Christ in his teaching. Can you now see? And now remember, Jesus spoke about it in the course of his sermon, right? And we saw that in chapter 13 and chapter 14. Some people carelessly will just read chapter 13 today and read chapter 14 next year. So they will not see the two. But John brought the explanations together. You understand me? And this is the commandment. You believe and you love. Did you see that? One another. Hallelujah. Did you see the two? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So let's go back to John chapter 15. Okay, before we go there, let's just dwell small on John chapter 3. Or I would like you to look at it. Just go through it at home. Go through that home. We'll start from there next week. We'll start from John chapter 3 next week. Now, it is expected that we know something. We'll start from John chapter 3 next week. John chapter 15, are you there? I've seen why we should start. Start from there. John chapter 15. And this is where I'm going to round up. I'm in John chapter 15. Now he says in verses 9. He says, "And as the Father loved me, have loved you." He said, "Abide in my love." So he changes the sentence. Because he's talking about bearing fruit. Hallelujah. You read before now. He said, "You bear much fruit." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, "And this my Father is glorified." What is the word glorified? Hallelujah. To glorify means to bring out. It implies to bring out. The word there means to bring out someone's glory. Hallelujah. He said, "My Father is glorified." By this, my Father is glorified because you bear much fruit. Now, he then quickly changes the tenses and he said, "Abide in my love." Abide in my love. And he calls it a command. In verse 10, I say, "If you love me, if you keep my commandment," what is the commandment? He said, "You will abide in my love." Hallelujah. "You abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love." Abide in my love. Abide in my love. Hallelujah. And Paul will now use that word. Fruit. Love. And this, he will now bring it together in Galatians chapter 6. He now said, "Now the fruit of the Spirit is..." Let's go there. Galatians. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I went too fast, right? Hallelujah. Don't worry. I can't keep you in the dark. No, we are children of the light. And I wanted to show you before we leave. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 6. I've been calling 6 since. It's chapter 5. Nobody even said any word to me. Chapter 5. Hallelujah. Look at what it says in verse 6. He says, "I say again, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Take note. First of all, we have settled it. It is not, listen, the bearing of fruit is the branch that bears the fruit of the vine. But the vine produces the fruit. So the fruit is not the work of the branch, but the work of the vine. So we can say, listen, the fruit is the work of the Spirit. Did you get that? Eh? Okay. Do you understand me? Or producing, bearing the fruit of the branch. Look at what it says. I said, "Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill." Telio. The word fulfill, the word telio, is... it means, or it implies, discharge. Do not discharge. You understand? Do not discharge the lust of the flesh. Lust will not be the desires of the flesh. Hallelujah. So walk in the Spirit. So bearing fruit is a function of walking in the Spirit. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. Amen. Did you understand me? So we can now say, the branch that does not bear fruit is a branch that does not walk in the Spirit. You understand? The branch that doesn't bear fruit is the branch that does not walk, or the branch that is not walking in the Spirit. You can have believers
who are born again, but yet their lives are not reflecting the believer's life because they are not walking in the Spirit. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you now see why? Very important. And thank God we are talking about the leading of the Spirit during our School of the Word. So we would know all this together. Hallelujah. We'll talk about how to walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Now, just in my closing remark, which will continue. Paul says in verse 20, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit. Who bears the fruit? We do. Who owns the fruit? The vine. Hallelujah. Did you get me? The vine is the work of the who? The vine is the work of the who? Of the Father. Are you hearing me? The vine is the work of the Father. Did you get me? And the vine produces the fruit. The branches bear the fruit. Now, Paul will now write, he said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. But why did you not, the word is means it's singular. But why are we not having joy, peace, long-suffering, faithfulness? Why are those things there? We'll get to see it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We'll get to see it. Hallelujah. But he said the fruit of the Spirit. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Hallelujah. Paul prays for them. And let's look at what Paul tells them. Colossians chapter 1. I thought I should have rounded off. Colossians 1. After Philippians, you see Colossians. I'm not saying it for you, I'm saying it for myself. Because I was already missing it. Hallelujah. Look at verse 6. He said, okay. He says, since, verse 4, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all saints. Take note of the word love for all saints. Because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. You know what we mean in heaven. Hallelujah. Of which you heard before in the world. In the truth of the gospel. Which has come to you. Had it has also in all the world. And is bringing forth fruit. What is bringing forth fruit? The message. What they do. What they've heard. Hallelujah. The gospel. The truth of the gospel. It says bringing forth fruits. He said, as it is among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. Did you see that? Hallelujah. 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 So he calls their work of love fruits. Bearing fruits. Did you get that? He calls it bearing fruit. In fact, if you read verse 8, it doesn't say Epaphras declared to them. Hallelujah. He said, declare to us your love in the Spirit. That is the fruit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, the branch is the work of the Father. The branch, do you understand me? Is the work of the Father. So, we bear fruit. Hallelujah. Can you now see? Bear fruit. Much more fruits. Bear fruit. So the fruit is not in the amount of souls you want. The fruit is your work in love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's your work in love. And we're going to look at it much more next week. We're going to go deep. Look at all the things that Paul spoke about and Jesus communicated in John chapter 15. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when we're done, you'll walk in love. We'll bear fruit everywhere. Hallelujah. He said, by this you will know you are my disciple. Meaning, love. You see, walk in love. You don't walk in love because you want to be the disciple of the Lord, but you walk in love because you are a disciple. So he said, by this you know, meaning you reflect the character of the disciple of Christ. You can be a Christian for years and you're not reflecting the Christian life.
They're not reflecting the Christian life. Hallelujah. 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 Say, by this you know you are my disciples. Hallelujah. Let's be on our feet. I walk in love. Hallelujah. It's a walk in the Spirit. When we walk in love, we are bringing forth the Father's work. We are showing forth the glory of the Father. He's glorified. Hallelujah. When we walk in love, we show forth the nature of the Father. Hallelujah. Just open your mouth and thank Him. Just thank Him. Thank you for what you've heard.